Okay, you're back. Hey, I'm back too. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to conclude the book of Joshua here. I'm going to take a little aside here with Joshua's warning when he says, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will not drive out any of these nations from before you. They shall be snares and traps." And here, there's snares and traps all around us, you know. We can apply this part. The ungodly, the idolaters around us are snares and traps unto us and scourges in our sides and thorns in our eyes. And he says, and he's warning them, if you make marriages with them, you know, if you don't cleave to your God, you go into them and they come unto you. Speaking of the ungodly, that's why we're called to come out of her, my people, to be in the world but not of it. That's what's being described here, because they're to drive them out, of course, but we're in a different situation. We're in the world, but we're not to be of it, because when we're of it, we're taking part of their idolatry, taking part in their idolatry, marrying with the ungodly, and giving and taking in marriage. They come into us, we go into them. We take part in their idolatrous rituals. We allow the pollutions of idols into our homes and into our congregations, like the Christmas tree and the, you know, the Merry Christ Death service, which is the masquerade as the birth of Jesus. And then you have the Ashtaroth Sunday, yes, Easter, the fertility worship, the bunnies and the eggs. What do you think it's about? And you got one coming up here in a couple days. Valentine's Day, another fertility goddess worship day. Then they have their heart symbol. And I'll tell you, even the Catholic Church knows the difference between a heart, cardia, and the heart, the other symbol of Valentine's Day, which they equate with love, right? And so they have their symbol for love. But what is that symbol really? Well, like I said, the Catholic Church has it right. They have their Immaculate Heart symbol, and they use the symbol of a real heart. It looks more like a fist. Cardia, it looks more like the physical heart. So at least they know the difference between the cardia and the opening of the matrix, because that's what that heart symbol is all about. And Cupid and Valentine's Day, and you get struck by the Cupid's arrow and the little hearts come floating out of your head. And that's what it's all about. You're worshiping the opening of the matrix. And that's the kindest way I can say it. And all of you adults know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe some of you've heard it before. Maybe some of you've never heard it. But there's the ring of truth. It's red or pink. And it's shaped like the opening of a matrix. It's not shaped like a cardia. And it's polluted the entire society. It's everywhere you go. The symbol of the opening of the matrix. Yes, it is idolatry. And this thing would not have been allowed in Israel at all. But most people don't even, are so mind controlled that they don't even know what's in front of their eyes. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which Yahuwah your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land, which he gave you when you have transgressed the covenant of Yahuwah your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourself to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. Yes, goodbye to the American Christian. Goodbye. Same thing. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and their heads, and their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus saith Yahuwah, God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. Of course, now this is the Creator speaking through his prophet to the people. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto Yahuwah, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And you know, there were many standing there. Their eyes did see it, because they were children at the time. Of course, that generation, the generation of grown-ups, of men of war, they all died, but their children grew up another 40 years. So many standing there did see it with their own eyes. And of course, we know that Joshua and Caleb saw it, and they were among the few who were adults at that time who did see it. Chapter 24 and verse 6, I brought you and your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto Yahuwah, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Verse 8, chapter 24. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. And I sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards that you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear Yahuwah, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve Yahuwah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Of course, Joshua speaking to the whole congregation. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should sake Yahuwah and serve other gods. For the Lord, our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And Yahuwah drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve Yahuwah, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he's done you good. And what he's saying is just because God's been good to you, you can't now turn away from him because you will suffer for your disobedience. You know, I think that's what a lot of people, oh, things are good. Oh, God's not going to hurt us. God has only been good to us. God bless America. Yes. He will not do us good. We can have Easter bunny. Oh, you know, why would we want to deprive our children of candy and gifts? You know, it's the candy and gifts bribe. Well, I was bribed with candy and gifts. Oh, what a joyous thing it was. Oh, I have such fond memories around the Christmas tree. Yes. Such fond memories of the Easter bunnies and the baskets and all the gifts we exchange. Fond memories. Why would I want to deprive my children of that? Yes. See? God will understand. Yeah, he understands all right. He understands that you're putting something before him. He understands that you're failing the test and you're justifying it by your children. He said, if you love your father, your mother, your son, your daughter, even your own life before me, you're not worthy of me. Don't you get it? You can't do it for the children. You can't say it's okay because we don't want to deprive the children. Because of course, Jesus wouldn't want the children to not enjoy candy and gifts, would he? Certainly, Jesus wouldn't ask me to do that, would he? And that's how they justify it. Oh, and what will the neighbors think? And what will my relatives think? Oh, no, they'll think I'm cuckoo. They'll think I'm nuts if I don't go along with what's been, you know, what we practiced for the last, you know, century. We don't take part in the rituals of the society as they've developed and have the Coca-Cola Santa Claus and all of these new icons and idols and images and bow down to them for the children's sake, of course, because we don't want to deprive them of gifts and candy. So we have to continue the bribes. After all, we were bribed with gifts and candy. So we'll bribe our children with gifts and candy, and it will make it difficult for them to deprive their children of what we enjoyed when we were children. Yeah. If you don't mind being separated from God, you can think of a lot of good reasons to continue in the pollution of idols. If all you need is an excuse, while there are 100 so-called teachers and hypocrites and Christians and pastors and men out there who have fancy stories to tell you and will help you to justify continuing in the pollutions of idols. And I've heard a good many of them. And they sounded good. Some sounded good at the time I heard them. But I keep reading the Word of God. And it keeps bringing me to the other conclusion that we need to put off all these pollution of idols. For the Lord our God, Yahuwah by name, he it is that brought us up, our fathers, out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Yes, have you been brought out of the house of bondage? Were we not all slaves of sin when he adopted us into his family? Do we now turn back from the plow? Do we now love our children, our mother, our father more than we love him? Then we're not worthy of him. Chapter 24 and verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. No matter how hard you try to justify it, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord our God. Nay, but we will serve Yahuwah by name. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Yahuwah to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto Yahuwah, God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words of the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of Yahuwah. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of Yahuwah which he spoke unto us, and it shall be there for a witness unto you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served Yahuwah all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of Yahuwah that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. And that ends the book of Joshua. Joshua lived to be 110 years. So after they entered the land, he lived another, 25 years. And Israel served. They were afraid to be disobedient. And I wish that we were afraid to be disobedient. Oh, give us that fear of Yahuwah. Give us that fear of God. That beginning of knowledge. And truly we will understand if we fear. Because the reality is we should fear disobedience to our God, to the God of Israel, to our Creator. We should fear being disobedient to Him as we would fear holding our hand in the fire, as we would fear stepping out in front into the traffic on a superhighway. That's how we should fear doing disobedience. But we don't, because people do disobedience. They sin once, and they think, rather than repent out of fear, they think, I can do that. I can get away with it, because He allows them to get away with it. He's testing us to see what sort of people we are. He is looking for a people that will serve Him, that will live a life by obedience, choose a life of obedience because they want to please Him and because they fear what will happen if they don't. Fear is a healthy thing. Fear of holding your hand in a fire is a healthy thing. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, He gave us the feeling of fire, the feeling of heat, of burning, so that we would withdraw our hand from the fire. He gave us His word, and He's given us history for the same purpose, so that we will withdraw from sin. He's given us His word, and so many illustrations, so many examples, so that we will withdraw our lives from the consuming fire of sin and idolatry. National Israel couldn't do it. I don't believe any nation can do it. Only individuals. He always had His remnant, and He always will have His remnant. Who is His remnant? His remnant is in the earth. His remnant is a holy nation. His remnant have been all of those who by faith chose a life of obedience from Him. From Adam and Eve in the beginning, when they repented and chose a life of obedience, all the way down to you and me who are living today a life of obedience, who are on the road of righteousness, repenting as we go along the way, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, departing from evil, having our minds renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. There are so many ways we can put it, but there is nothing more important than that we cross the border into his kingdom, become a part of his holy nation, fear to do evil, fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Well, in everything you say and do, as always, hallelujah, praise his holy name.